yo, I'm feeling like Ray Charles. I got my shades on, I don't know where they are. You couldn't find me even if you had a radar. And I spit rapidly, AKA.
It always feels like there's a giant gap in time between our podcasts, but we are back once again with another episode of Viva Chikara. I am your host, Dr. Cube. Joining me, as always, Mr. Charles Manson. Charles, how's it going?
Why do you call me Charles Manson? You call me Charles Manson on Twitter, too. I don't understand. I don't get the reference.
No, clearly you haven't looked in the mirror at your Twitter profile picture lately.
If Charles Manson was confined to a buffet for, like, a month, maybe. But, I don't know. I've trimmed the beard, actually. I gotta be honest. I was threatening to trim Megabeard on Twitter. It was getting unruly, and I have a cat now named Barnabas who really, really was just amazed by it and would try to take parts of it or just hang on it, and I got tired of that. So I trimmed the bad boy up, so I look much less like a crazy cult leader.
What about your hair?
Is the same. So, yes. Still resembling the cult leader, as if the cult leader just suddenly decided that he was going to eat lots of cake. I have to admit, I'm not as... I'd say I'm a pretty good talker. I'm not really proving it right now, as I'm having trouble getting out the phrase good talker. But I don't think I'm up to the Manson levels of convincing people to do things.
Not yet, anyways.
Right. It takes practice. I know I'm still relatively young. I don't know what age that he, you know, he went about his business. But he's still crazy. I actually was watching a video of him just like a few weeks ago. That man is still a professional crazy person.
I did not know he was still alive.
Yeah, like every couple years they're like, we're going to release him. And he goes up with these files that he's just like written in poo and just sort of makes a case that has nothing to do with anything. Like, just like talks about the Lizzie McGuire show for like 20 minutes. He says it. The best part about him is he says it so matter-of-factly that you just, you know, you get a sense that this person is truly out of their mind.
Well then, I guess you being him, you would know.
Right. I don't even have that. That's the thing, is that I have an understanding. If I say some of the things that he says, I would just, halfway through, I'd start laughing. I'm just not that good a performance. I mean, you have to be legitimately crazy to say some of these things that he comes up with. I would just start laughing.
Well, speaking of legitimately crazy, that actually is a nice segue into our first topic here on the Viva Chikara.
Charles Manson to time travel.
Right, exactly. That's exactly where we're going. As most of you who listen to this show are aware, most of what Justin and I do is run down the upcoming Chikara shows because there's a lot of history behind the company, and we feel it's important to kind of get people up to speed and on par with what's going on in Chikara. What we're about to talk about is, as of now, not necessarily Chikara canon. It's not even something that Chikara put out themselves. It was a podcast that I found that I think is also produced by the people who run the Atomic Elbow, which is an awesome fanzine that I know Chikara supports. And it was brought to my attention on Tumblr, which is, you know, I run the Chikara Special Tumblr. And it basically was described as a must-listen to for any diehard Chikara fan. Well, that's right up my alley. And if you want to find it, we'll post a link in the show notes on the ProWrestlingPonderings.com where we're going to host this podcast as we usually do. It's called The Mandible Claw Chikara Special 1.21 Jigsaws. And I listened to this while I was at work because there's lots of theories about what is going on in Season 12, which is the current season of Chikara. And I'll try to explain the best I can what these people were trying to get at, and then Justin and I will talk about our opinions on it. But I really think it's important for everybody to go and listen to this because Robert, who I believe is the person who put this all together, he did an incredible job of putting all these puzzle pieces together and putting together this theory. So I'm not taking credit for any of this. I've known some of the things that he spoke of, like these extra blogs and other things that have been out there, but I didn't really sit down and take the time to make everything make sense. And there's some other things that I didn't really know about. So I want to give him and everyone else over at the Atomic Elbow full and total credit for it. And like I said, I'll put the link in the show notes so you can go listen to it. But essentially, their theory is that this current Chikara season, and maybe beforehand, are not happening. They don't exist. They just don't happen. They're a part of some alternate reality. And the theory is that Archibald Peck time traveling due to Eddie Kingston giving him multiple back fists to the futures, because as we understand the storyline, that's what happens, has broken down the time spectrum and is causing all these rifts and things to happen. So apparently what we are not watching is the actual real world Chikara, but a Chikara that's going on in alternate universe. And a lot of this is explained through a couple other different things. See, now I'm trying to figure out like where I want to go with all this, what direction to take it all in. So if you went to Under the Hood, as I did, the Condor Security, the two men that have been hanging out at the shows since early season 11, if not before, they were handing out business cards that would lead you to a Teeter conglomerate website, which is what we're led to believe has Conrad Vavasor, the father of Wink Vavasor's involvement in it. And it had some links to like Rogue Brains, the company that was supposedly in charge of the Chikara video game, and Condor Security and everything else. Well, Teeter is the same last name as John Teeter, who was the name, which is the name used on several bulletin boards in the early 2000s by a poster claiming to be a time traveler from the year 2036. And he would go on like the radio show Coast to Coast AM and talk about how he worked for the government and was an American soldier from 2036 based in Tampa. And he was assigned to a government time travel project going back and forth to do various other things. And the one big thing that he described was that in the future, there was a civil war happening that was causing families and tight groups to start to fracture and fight against each other, which is a lot of what we're seeing in the current day Chikara product. You're seeing fists sort of fall apart. You're seeing the ants fighting each other. The throwbacks aren't really getting along. So you're seeing a lot of inter-family fighting. On top of that, you have, again, there's a lot of layers to this, so I'm trying to see where I want to tread. So the one thing that happened with Condor Security is that the theory is they have been sent from the past or the future, maybe in the present, and their job is to strictly make sure that nothing further goes awry and that they need to keep everything together. I guess Condor Security or the Teeter conglomerate feels responsible for all this happening, and so they need somebody to keep it keep everything in check. And if you've noticed, these guys never say anything. They never do anything. They don't touch anybody. If you talk to them at the show, they don't respond. They don't interfere in matches. They never do anything on any shows forever. I guess they fear if they were to change anything in this current timeline, it could further disrupt what's going on. The one thing that they ever did that involved any interaction was when at King of Trios 2012 Night 3, when they arrested the Swamp Monster after he was livid that he had lost that awesome Comedy Atomicos match. And the reason why this podcast theorizes this is okay is because something to do with the comic man thing. Now, in Chikara, you know, lore, comics are treated as reality, or at least some, you know, at their convenience, they use it. And in Man Thing, who is a swamp creatures are seen to be the keys to what they refer to as the nexus of all realities. And basically what that means is whenever these creatures are present, they are sort of the gateway and the key to all realities at once, or used to jump from reality to reality, something very crazy and out there. So him being there at King of Trios and starting a ruckus after the match could have been seen as a threat to changing or altering the timeline, so Condor Security had to get rid of him. So that explains, sort of, if this were to believe all of this, what's going on. In addition to this, there has been a blog, Blogspot blog, that has no affiliation to Chikara specifically. It's, you know, you won't find the Chikara label anywhere, but you'll notice like the Teeter conglomerate and some other things that we've spoken of, like Condor Security and whatever else, mentioned in numerous, if not all, blog posts called the No Private Army blog. And if you go there, there's certain posts that you can tie into Chikara. Like, it talks about government war ants being created, and that was a blog that was posted just days before the Colony Extreme Force debuted in Chikara, and a bunch of other things where if you take a, and you know, things about time travel and everything else. And so we're sort of, I guess, supposed to think that these are also going to be tied in to Chikara as well. And the one thing that leads me to believe that some of this is true, or at least is going somewhere, is at the end of the WrestleCon show, the Shoulder of Palas, as Quackenbush is walking down the aisle, he's thanking the fans for coming and doing everything else, and a guy comes up with a hat on that says NPA. And he has this large envelope, and he says, you know, Mike or Quackenbush or whoever, this is for you. And McQuack's like, oh, am I supposed to sign? He's like, no, you need to take this. And then the show just rolls credits. So what we're led to believe is NPA would stand for No Private Army, and that whatever was part of this package that Quackenbush received led to his direct resignation or firing or whatever else from Chikara, because it was like the next day that his Twitter – his Twitter bio, his background has nothing and no affiliation to do with Chikara whatsoever. He was off the Chikara roster page, and all his merchandise was discounted in the Chikara store. So who knows how this is all going to pay off or how they're going to wrap this all up in a nice bow, but it's certainly something interesting to think about, and I asked Justin to listen to it because I was kind of I was getting a little scared listening to this because it started to make sense to me, which made me think I was insane, but also tied in a little bit to like the Watchmen titles that all the shows have had this year, which also has a little bit of what we're talking about. And you know how in Chikara, nothing's coincidental. So I want to know what you made of all this when you listen to the podcast, or if there's anything that I missed, any glaring omissions from my rant.
Well, as you know, speaking as people, whenever you're reiterating someone else's ideas, you're going to sort of miss certain connections or just things that we think are small, but to that person might be humongous. So it's really, I would advise anyone that wants to know exactly what we're talking about to give it a listen, because it's actually, as complex as it is, it's a really good listen to. So I really applaud both the interviewer and the fellow from Atomic Elbow who's talking about it. I guess we'll provide a link or something toward it, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, I'll put the link on the – when we put the posting on PW Ponderings, I'll put the link in there.
Perfect, yeah. It's really worth kind of going out of your way to listen to the entire thing from someone with both the enthusiasm and the foresight to put it all together. I mean, all these components, I think we can both agree, we're big Chikara enthusiasts. And so we knew about the elements, certain elements. I mean, other stuff like – the nexus of all realities. I'd never given that. I'd heard of it, but I certainly never gave it a second thought with any of this. And so all of that connective tissue coming in, having that foresight, I didn't have, quite frankly, because I really haven't been as interested in Chikara over the last while that it's taken to sort of get to this point, this timeline that we're on. And I heard that said a lot, that the time isn't happening. It's happening. It's just happening in a sort of a different place, in a different timeline, essentially. Different possibilities, different realities. I always, because of something I read, Planetary by Warren Ellis, I refer to it as the snowflake, because there are all these sort of, that's what it looks like when you look into the precipice of all these different possible timelines. And so crossing over to them is a whole different story. Getting to them and things like that, which we could, if this is true, see in the future. I think there's a lot of things up in the air here. I think there's too much that fits without working very hard. Like, who knows if the swamp monster thing, was actually, the fact that these swamp creatures are, sort of gateways to all times, if that's a possibility. I really thought the place that they were going is that the last time that you saw the second Archibald Peck, he was wandering into parts unknown. So it's very possible something could have happened here, and he could have become the swamp monster a long time ago, like when he first lost, because we hadn't seen the swamp monster by then. The swamp monster came after that. So it cuts to this video of him walking in this snowy sort of parts unknown. Who knows what happened to him? Maybe that's what happened. So that second Archibald Peck wandering around becomes a swamp monster. And I feel like I'm just adding to the confusion at this point. Am I just making it more confusing?
No, I think that's only like one little addition to what they were going with. That'd be kind of a funny twist to it.
That was my initial thought was, Because, again, I didn't put this as one big thing. It's sort of like what the BDK did. You see all of these elements, and you go, well, how do they resolve this? You don't see it as a bigger picture until it's right in your face. And I feel like because of this this guy, the Atomic Elbow, that it's sort of being pieced together before they lay all the cards out, which is pretty cool. And again, great foresight. Again, I felt like that was when I saw him wandering. I thought, I remember piecing together. Is that showing us what's happening now? That he's just getting to this snowy place, or is this something that happened? Did he just wander forever and ever? And this happened months ago, you know, a year ago. And he showed up as the swamp monster, some sort of, you know, like creature of some kind. I don't know. I mean, I can't put all the pieces together because I'm just honestly I'm not that invested because I don't like, you know, storylines or not. I'm not that interested in where Chakar is. I still like the wrestlers. I think they, they put on amazing shows, and all of them from the bottom to the top, you know, care about entertaining you, whatever position they are on the card. But there's just a lot of people. I mean, I said it as clear as I can as my cat wanders on my keyboard. Get out of there.
Keyboard cat joke. Make one, folks.
Yes. Da, 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 da. So I want the Osirian portal back together. I like Original Colony, you know, I miss them in tag matches. I think there was still territory to mine there. And I know you have to change up when something gets stale or whatever. I don't think it was stale. I don't like where a lot of things are. Or I prefer them, I don't know, maybe I just prefer them the other way. I don't like anything going on with the Colony, and I never did. What I've seen from the Colony Extreme Force, I don't really care about. It's just, I don't know. It's not as interesting as, I don't know. It's not as interesting as what could have been done just with the elements that they had. I don't think they required bringing in all these other elements. But that's the timeline we're in. So I guess we should just, we should just accept it. And it's sort of a good excuse for why everything is zany and crazy and the way it is. But I think it's too well thought out, and I think it's too, there's too many, he made too many great connections for at least portions of this not to be true.
Yeah, no, it's definitely pretty brilliant. That's why I was so impressed. But you're right, like, I had known about the No Private Army blog, and I figured, oh, there might be some loose connection to it, but I never even bothered to read it, because like you said, I'm not super into what they're doing, so I figured, you know what, I'll take everything on the surface, and when it matters, and I'll get to it at some point. So the fact that someone else was putting the work in really got me to think about it. I was like, okay, now I went back and I watched, like, the epilogue where R.D. Evans is explaining the time travel stuff to Wink. I think it makes less sense every time I watch it, so that's not super helpful. Read some of the blogs.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, so I'm just like, because, I think it was Brad was like, so how did two Archibald Pecks come to form? And if you watch the video, they never tell you. So
It doesn't make, like, I've heard people say, oh, no, it's this. No, it doesn't make much sense. Time traveling where you end up with two people always involves three people. It has to be three people. I'm trying to, let me see if I can put this all together. Essentially, all right. So a person has to go back in time, right, to, let's say, I don't know, and he sits there for a minute, and then he goes back in time again 5 minutes before that, right? So he waits 5 minutes, that second version of him shows up, and he knocks his lights out, or just, like, throws him in a vat of acid. Now there's two people, because that person never went back in time to become the first person. So if you believe in, I forget what you call it, when it's, you're sort of displaced from your own timeline, but now you have enough people that that there's certainly a possibility, or you have to I don't know, or just even if you just knock him out and you don't and he doesn't get the chance to go back in time, don't kill him because he already went back in time once. You knock him out and you stop him from going back in time. Take his time machine, pee all over it, make it unusable, and then there's two of you. Then there's two people running around, but there needs to be a total of like two jumps. to make it happen, and otherwise it doesn't work out. Because I've written about time travel before in different ways, that different sort of just as plot devices, as ways it can work. That was the only one that I could consider a way to have two of the same person in a timeline, is that basically one of them, they makes two jumps, and the second jump guy stops the first one from making that second jump. He still exists because he's in this new timeline. It happened. Or if you believe in the sort of Back to the Future storyline, he breaks the time machine and then disappears forever.
Well, you know what's funny is the other thing I just thought of is that the podcast did make one error. The only other time Condor Security did anything is when they realized that the mysterious handsome stranger is Archibald Peck. They took him out of the building.
Right. And if he's the cause of all this, then or the cause of this timeline change, then they could touch him. It's also the reason they can touch the Swamp Monster if you don't want to go with the Nexus of All Realities theory, is because that was also an Archibald Peck.
Justin, this is also zany. I want to, like, abandon the rest of the show and just talk about this for the rest of the time.
I know. There's really, the funny thing is that it's one of those things that I think you and I could have put this together. I don't want to belittle the work that this gentleman did, because, again, he did phenomenal work. And I don't know what possessed him to just go crazy and do this. Kudos to him. But I think it comes down to inspiration. Is just, these were all very small elements. And as he was talking, I thought, I know all this. I know what he's talking about. What does it matter? And as he started put things together, I went, he saw the big picture before it. I mean, that was the BDK thing. Looking back, you can sort of put a lot of this together. You know, like, you can reason out certain elements of that, but you did know it was all one big thing. And so having that inspiration and going, what if all of these things that I'm seeing are connected in some way? How would I connect them? Then having the foresight to do that is pretty incredible. And again, I think there's too many things, there's too much connective tissue for this to not be something. Whether that involves a swamp monster being an alternate Archibald Peck, or whether it involves him, being a part of the Nexus of All Realities. Who can say? I think the cool thing is now there's, with more information coming in, there's more to look for. You know, there's more to, you can keep looking for that connective tissue now.
Right. So now we'll have our eyes more peeled on all this stuff that would lead into this theory.
Right. You know, if you just have a bunch of string lying around, you don't necessarily know what to do with it. But if you see like a ball forming, then you just know, oh, the string is for the ball. It's like, now that we know that there's supposed to be this big swirling sphere, we see these strings, and instead of just going, well, that's another weird thing, we can connect it to something, and we can tie it to something. And that's what I think that part of what makes Shakar really, really fun. It's what I really liked about the Eye of Tyr storyline, is because it kept going, and you got all these little pieces of connective tissue, like, at different places, and you got to build this kind of timeline of events in your head.
Unless we forget, that was the pieces to that were picked up at the season finale and have not yet to come back into play.
That's right.
And I think there was something mentioned about it on the podcast too, but I could be wrong.
That'll certainly be interesting. Just in terms of if that'll, when, really, because, I mean, if they showed it, it's going to...
Yes. Well, so that's something to keep in mind while you're watching your Chikara DVDs this weekend, or if you're going to the shows this weekend, or Tech World, or Anniversary, or wherever else.
Connective tissue!
Yes. And let us know if you notice anything, or see anything else, or if there's another piece that you think is put in here. And if you're really confused, go listen to that podcast. I really highly, highly recommend you do so. So why don't we talk about some shows, Justin?
I think that would be a wonderful idea, because there's two shows coming up, for God's sake!
And you're going to one of them.
I am going to one of them. In Georgia, where I live. In my home.
Because that's a place.
Yes. But before that, that show's on May 4th, Saturday. There's a show Friday, May 3rd in North Carolina.
Yes. Battle Mott with Monsters. Good advice, I'd say.
It depends on the size of the monster and the will of the man, but yes, I in general agree.
It's this Friday, Gibsonville, North Carolina. I believe it's the same building, the CWF Mid-Atlantic building that Chikara ran last October. And it is this Friday night, the 3rd. So, going from bottom to top, we have Saturnine versus Missile Assault Ant. You watched this match more recently than I, Justin, but Saturnine was involved in the Colony Extreme Forces debut match, where they and Soldier Ant took on Fire Ant, Assailant, Dash Radfield, and Saturnine. I didn't notice anything super special going on between Saturnine and the Extreme Force in there. Do you have any reason why these two would be facing each other aside from they're the last two people on the card not booked?
Oh, no, that was going to be what I said. That's the reason they're the last two people on the card not booked.
Okay, I don't know. Missile Assault Ant wins?
I don't know. See, it used to be in the old days, you could tell, like, how old someone was, and you could sort of go, oh, so maybe a Young Lions Cup shot if they win. But you can't really do that because they have freaking masks on, and if you cut a man's hand off and count the rings, it doesn't tell you their age. And it's hard to count with them screaming like that anyway. So I'd say Missile Assault.
Yeah, you know, he could very well, you know, win and get a Young Lions Cup shot. Because Wink apparently knows the ages of everybody because he told Assailant, no sir, when he tried to get a title shot.
Which I found interesting as well, because if we're still not supposed to, if we don't know exactly how old these guys are and who they know, how does Wink know how old he is?
Because he knows everything. He's the director of fun.
He does. He knows all things.
Yeah, he cut off Assailant's arm.
He didn't know Ophidian's name for the longest amount of time.
Well, he apparently knows ages. You know, these are important things because you need the Windows guys like Dragon Gate has, and then you need the young up and comers.
We need more. I don't know. I feel drained without Dragon Gate in my life right now. It's getting really frustrating to the point where I'm just gonna go and I'm gonna show up at Brad Garoon's domicile, and I'm just gonna start taking Dragon Gate-y things and say it's mine, and just after every time, and just leave with like a giant box of stuff.
He'll be so confused.
It's mine, just over and over again. Yeah, no, that I'm not willing to go that far, but I'm close.
Like, why is Charlie Manson here?
I'll just say, well, I'm moving in. Like, this, I just need to be close proximity to it. And it's just driving me. It's driving me absolutely insane. But I've got Chikara, though, and I'm sort of catching up on that. But, yeah, I do see what you mean about the sort of different levels of wrestlers. Although one of the youngest wrestlers, Katoka, is in Windows, so who knows what the hell that means. Who cares? Missile Assault Ant wins via blowing her to bits. I don't know.
I do kind of like his he has his own version of a lawn dart that he does. That's kind of nifty.
Oh, that was nuts. Yeah, that was pretty cool. I got to admit, that was pretty... The funny thing is that I was just... We were talking about the Florida shows, and I was crapping all over the mats that they had because they slowly... And this was the first show that they did where everyone really liked them. With all the screaming, it was starting to exhaust people. I hear it really exhaust them on the following night. Here, they were just sort of getting sick of it. All the guys were pretty darn good wrestlers, I have to admit. They had their moves down really well. They hit some good triple team stuff. Missile Assault Man had some good stuff. They all had comedy elements down pat that I thought were great. So there's goodness here. I just really hope they stop yelling their names and exhausting crowds by making them yell back.
Yeah, it's definitely a problem. I don't think it was super bad at WrestleCon because they were definitely more like a definitely like more outlandish heel way. So who knows? Oh, that's another thing. While we're talking about the Colony Extreme Force, they were retroactively named the 2011 King of Trios winners at the last WrestleCon show, or I guess the only WrestleCon show. So that could go back into the alternate timeline stuff too.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's the. And I totally agree that Remember how I said the Spectre Envoy winning was a little weird?
You did, yes.
This is what I'm talking about. That it was never supposed to happen in our timeline. You know, if we're Earth 22 or something, we're watching what would have happened in Earth 17. And this is, it's a little unusual. I don't know, you know what I keep going back to? How are they going to reset time? What's the big thing going to be? Like, I can't even.
Kingston giving Archibald Peck a back fist.
And that's going to be it? I mean, maybe. I don't know. I don't see. I don't know what's going to happen when that happens. I feel like Chikara is just going to blow up or something.
Maybe they will. Maybe if it happens in Chicago when I go to Tag World and it's Kingston versus Peck, if that's the championship match we see, if he backfists him, I'll just pretend to like fall out of my seat and go like, whoa, and like run out of the building or something.
Yes, backwards.
Right, exactly.
Just going, not like just going out of the building. Do you know the looks you'll get if you do that? That would be amazing. The funny thing is, you wouldn't be the only one. Someone else, this is what the best part about Chikara. If you've never been to the live show, any stupid, crazy thought you have in your head, someone else has that thought too, and it's kind of awesome. It's like being with family members you never knew you had. So you think you're going to be the only one to yell, spaghetti! And someone else yells, and you're like, hey, you had the same idea! So it's kind of cool in that regard.
You know, Jerome gave myself and Brad Groon crazy looks at the Dragon Gate USA show when him and I were singing Johnny Gargano's theme. I don't know what look he's going to give me if I just start running out of the building backwards going like, we dip, zip, dip, we dip, dip, dip.
That would be amazing. God, I hope this occurs. Or they just, I don't know. They tell the crowd or something like, now when he hits the back fist, I need all of you to run backwards. And that's the best part about Chikara. Everyone would go, okay, good. Yeah, we'll do that. So... I don't know. That sounds amazing, but I don't know how they're going to do it. But definitely, if you should know, anyone going to the Chikara show, if Peck hits him with a back fist, the place is blowing up for sure.
Yeah. I'll say goodbye. I'll give a kiss my mother on the head before I get on the plane.
Just you should do that. You should just treat it very seriously to all your friends, like the day before you leave, going, if I don't come back. Just know how I really felt about you. And they're like, it's a wrestling show, right? Where are you going to?
I just put my hand on their shoulder and just nod and then walk on the plane.
I wish I could tell you, but it's just so complicated.
I might time travel this weekend. I don't know how else to tell you.
It involves 12 ants. I can't even.
Yeah, that's the problem is like, people are like, oh, so you really like this company, Chikara. So I hear there's like ant people. I'm like, look, just let's play a drinking game instead.
I got to be honest. It's the sheer number of ants is getting harder and harder to convince people to try Chikara.
Right?
Like, because I have to be honest, you know, like when someone says, aren't there like ants or something? Yeah, there are a couple of them. And they're like, how many? Do you want to know how many there are currently or total? Ever? How many ants have there been? 37. Like, you have...
In a row?
There's no way around it, you know? And they're shocked to hear it, but... and there's nowhere you can go. There's no, like, no, you don't understand. The sheer number of ants makes total sense. You see, this guy went back in time. Forget it. Let's go watch Inception. That'll be fine.
Yeah, it's like the same thing. I still remember my friend told me he went with a couple of his friends who are pretty much strictly WWE guys to the Ring of Honor a TV taping in Baltimore, the one where they had the Chikara Showcase match, where it was like the original Colony against Los Ice Creams and Ophidian. And he's like, when Los Ice Creams came out, the look on their faces was the same they would have had if they walked in on their dad having sex with someone else, like who wasn't their mom. Like, he's like, I thought they had to go into therapy after watching that match. So there's just certain wrestling fans who just can't get their mind around stuff like that.
See, that's the best part. That's what my dad and I, like, that's the strongest part of our relationship at all is that I, you know, is our connective tissue, there it is again, it's wrestling, really. And so I knew he was an old school wrestling fan, and I didn't spring Chikara on him for a while. And so when I said... Yeah, there's guys dressed like ice cream, there's like a giant mantis man who's a cult leader, and then there's guys like Hollow Wicked and Delirious who doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. My dad went, oh, okay, yeah, sure. Like, I thought for sure he'd be that guy that was like, yeah, that's not what wrestling is. Wrestling is shiny giants and Speedos slapping each other. And I was told, like what really sold him was Delirious. The Delirious character is a great segue for anyone in Chikara, especially some of the older stuff in, like, not like Super Old, but like 2007, 2008. that stuff is just, for whatever reason, is just like, if they get that, they'll get Chikara. I feel like that's the best way, the best gateway for Chikara is just Delirious in 2007, 2008.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. So speaking of Delirious.
Oh.
Yeah. He is the leader of the Batiri, who, when he is not around, which is often, are spearheaded by Ophidian. And they are going to be teaming up to take on Los Ice Creams and the colony of Fire Ant Assailant. Wink had something about merchandise being the reason behind Los Ice Creams and the ants teaming up, because I guess they're like two big money makers, so he feels like them together could make more money. But anyways, they're facing the Batiri and Ophidian because I guess they're the they're a quartet now. They also face the colony Extreme Force and Soldier Ant and won. So reckons that the more put together cohesive quartet would come out on top. So there you have it. Ophidian and the Batiri will get the win here.
Yeah, we need another name for it. Listen, the Batiri are the two green-faced men and the goblin. I mean, that's the Batiri. The Ophidian and Delirious element, we need a new name, and I'm calling them the Deliri.
I like this a lot.
Yes, they are the Deliri. So even without Delirious there, that's fine. They're still, it's still under Ophidian's command from directors of Delirious. It is the Deliri, and I have a feeling the Deliri are going to win here. If the Deliri don't win here, they should all retire. This is an absurd team they're facing.
It is a very absurd team they're facing. Perhaps the fatter ant will try to eat the ice creams.
I'm sort of hoping Fire Ant gives one of them a hug and one of them just melts.
I was really pissed off that Fire Ant Arctic Rescue Ant have had two interactions with each other and nothing has happened to either of them.
Nothing elemental, yeah, anything like that. But they just like went for a double clothesline and were just like start freaking out and just convulsing like this is bad.
One of my favorite spots ever in Chikara history was King of Trios 07. It was Hallowicked and Cheech and Cloudy against the colony. And Hallowicked just comes out from outside. There was a big snowstorm that day. He just comes with a giant block of snow and smashes it on Fire Ant. And Fire Ant just like riles in pain on the floor. So he's the greatest. And that's what I was like, this is the greatest wrestling company of all time.
That's what I was sort of sad about. You know, I liked all the sort of sugar jokes and fighting over a bag of sugar and stuff like that. And I liked all that stuff. But now it's just clearly like men dressed as ants. Because any ants can show up. We just, you know, like they even said, the Gekido guys were like, we just dressed up as ants, you know, and I don't know why, but it bothered me profusely.
Well, it's because they try to tell you for years, like, oh, these are real ants. And all of a sudden, like, or you know, they have like the mask stuff and you're like, wait a minute. Can it really be both ways? Now, don't get me wrong. Like, I will sing the praises of that mask versus hair match for the rest of my life. But it's sort of tough. It's tough to have go both ways.
Yeah, luckily, like, that's the thing, is that when they switch it up and you're like, how can you play both sides were pretty entertaining. So, right. It's like, when they were just guys in masks protecting an identity, they had an amazing match and an amazing feud, and then when they were ants, it was pretty hilarious and just, you know, kind of a fun gimmick, so. But now there's a billion ants, so at least two of them will lose on this show.
So then we have a singles match, Amasis versus the Shard. This, I guess, will be officially be Amasis' return match to Chikara because his match with Ophidian at the Shoulder of Palas never happened. The Shard's real good. I saw Amasis wrestle for about 3 minutes at Wrestling is Fun against Juan Francisco de Coronado, and he looked great. He's still in really good shape, if not in better shape than he was before he left. Moved around great. Seems like he's, you know, invigorated, excited, motivated, and the Shard is possibly the most underrated guy on the Chikara roster right now. So good. Just basically doesn't have bad matches anymore. I'm really excited to see what these two guys can produce. And I think it's pretty important for Amasis to get a win here. So I'm going to say he gets the win.
Yeah, it's a tough call whether someone's going to try to get up in his business because the whole Deliri clan outside of its leader, who hasn't had any interaction with Amasis, is here. I liked, you know, it's funny that you say that about the Shard. I really do think he's a very good wrestler. I don't give a flip about him as a character. It means nothing to me. He is, there's no chances to really talk or get over. Jigsaw does all the talking. The focus of the feud is on Jigsaw. The Shard's just sort of like, he's just the lackey or the, I don't know, the other element. So as good as he is as a wrestler, I just don't care watching his matches. I don't think there's a really strong... I mean, he used the ankle lock a few times, but those were all on, I think, Fire Ant. And that was selling an injury. So I can't think of a finisher that he's got really defined other than Jigsaw's. So there are all these sort of elements that drive me nuts, and I can't really get behind him as much as I would have otherwise.
What move he needs to turn into a finisher is his water wheel slam into the corner. Because that is nasty stuff.
That really is. That is pretty nasty. I'm surprised. You know, I've been seeing this a lot, and it wouldn't be even be that hard to finish. I'm surprised more people don't use, like, running knees. Because they're not that hard to pull off, and I see so many people, like Japanese wrestlers, do it. And every time I see it, I'm like, my God, that looks horrific. Like, I think it's Gentaro in DDT who has that move where he just runs at you and just double knees you, like when you're kneeling, and just murders you with these double knees, and not like Meteora style, but he just sort of collides with you with his knees out flat and just sort of bowls you over. And I'm surprised that you don't see that more from wrestling. I don't know why I'm bringing it up here. I guess because he's a smaller guy, and so him just running and kneeing the crap out of someone just makes sense to me. But yeah, I get a finish over so that I know what to look for in matches. Otherwise, unless he hits Jigsaw's move, the Jig and Tonic, I don't really buy any finish that he has right now. And Amasis, it's good to have him back. It's still not, you know, it's sort of like he's running Loki's gimmick with an actual purpose other than just, you know, being Stone Fury. I don't know. I just don't care for the seriousness of the gimmick and all the, you know, talking about when a warrior fights another warrior, it's considered a battle of warriors. Like, I don't know. They're all, you go to their Twitter and they're all talking like the Sphinx from Mystery Men. Everything's just sort of like backwardsy and not very interesting. So I figure Amasis will probably, no, I'm going to say the Shard wins here. Because I think Amasis gets the deuce the next night.
Okay. I kind of feel like Amasis should take all the singles wins he can before facing Ophidian and Anniversario. And because I figure, well, the Shard's biggest deal is him teaming with Jigsaw. So, like, whatever, he can stomach a singles loss, I think.
I mean, he probably can. And, again, there's no focus on him whatsoever. So you're probably right. But I think Amasis rolling through just the Batiri members is good enough to get him there. And I don't know. I just want to see the Shard with some defined finish. Like, I know what Amasis can win with. I mean, I don't know if he still does. I mean, he was using, you know, when he left the company, he was a very different wrestler than when he started. It was much less off the top and more like rolling elbows and just stiff shots. He threw like a savate kick in like Cobalt's face at one point when he was beating those guys down in the Florida shows, and I thought, man, that's a little crazy. So, it'll be kind of interesting to see what he has up his sleeve. Maybe you're right. Maybe we'll see some crazy new finish from Amasis.
That'd be fun. I'd like to see him break out the Egyptian conniption again.
That was that like face buster style thing, right?
Yeah, the crucifix into the whatever else. He used the rolling forearm to beat Coronado on the Wrestling is Fun show, and he used like his awesome spine buster that he does.
Yes, yeah. He's sticking with it. I just want to see both. As long as this match doesn't end up with a roll-up, which I have a feeling it will, I'll be happy. I know. I want to see one of these guys clobber the other guys with a defining move that says, I can beat people with this, and then I'll know forever.
Okay, sorry. So you got another interesting tag match here. It's not very common these days that you see the Campeones de Parejas and tag team action when the belts are not on the line. But that's what we're seeing here is 3.0, the current Campeones, take on the other two members of the Colony Extreme Force, Arctic Rescue and Orbit Adventure Ann. We've seen in the past many times where the champions are in, well, not many times, but there has been times in the past where the Campeones face some challengers and they get beat. Like, I know Los Ice Creams beat Fist when they were the champions to get a point, for example. And I believe the Osirian Portal, when they were Campeones, took a fall or two. But it's 3.0 hasn't. They really haven't had any matches since their... since they won the Campeones de Parejas for a second time where they were just in a tag team match, not defending them. So you'd have to reckon that if Arctic Rescue and Orbit Adventure Inc. get the win here, they will probably earn themselves a spot in the 2013 Tag World Grand Prix, or at least get more matches to try to get to a title shot. But again, really, if they will want to do it at Anniversario, it's Tag World or nothing. So That's kind of my prediction here, is that they win and get a point and then get entered into Tag World.
So I'm confused. What were you saying about 3.0? You're saying they weren't in tag matches? Is that...
Well, no, well, so they've only competed in like trios or Atomicos or 10-mans since being champions. Anytime they're in a two-on-two match, the titles are always on the line.
Right. Well, I mean, that's usually the case with the tag champions.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So it's not, as I'm saying, it's not common at all to see the tag champs in a straight-up tag match when the belts aren't on the line, because they usually only save them for those.
You're absolutely right. And I honestly, I'm sort of baffled, because this was the first thing about this card I wanted to, that I looked at and went, why didn't they? 3.0 and Los Ice Creams versus the Deliri, and then the Colony Extreme Force versus the Colony makes like a billion times more sense, doesn't it?
I mean, yeah.
If we're thinking about it. I mean, I don't know.
Although the 3.0 and Lice Ice Creams, I mean, they're enemies. I mean, if you remember Jagged's, one of my favorite, well, I guess they were 2.0 though, and then promos, is from Maximum Overdraft, the first time 2.0 and Lice Ice Creams had a match. And Jagged tells this, I mean, the promo is like 7 minutes long, where he talks about running to the ice cream store, getting ice cream and trying to get home before it melts, and getting it all over his Chicago Bulls Zubaz pants. It's one of the greatest Chikara promos ever. So they don't like those ice creams. And then they faced each other again at the that Leonard F. Chikarson book show at the end of 2010. So they faced each other there. So they got a history of not being friends. So maybe this is.
Yeah, maybe that's why they couldn't be convinced to team with Leonard. I don't know. I feel like that makes both matches better in my mind, whereas 3.0 facing, or that's the thing. I think it's so obvious that I think the Colony Extreme Force are winning this match because there's clearly something set up. Something's happening here. I don't know what, but I think the Colony Extreme Force get the win. Maybe they do get into Tag World Grand Prix, but I feel like having 3.0 here means that they're losing for some reason.
To me, it also, if, yeah, so you're right in that aspect, and also it makes sense if Missile Assault is beating Saturina, getting a Young Lions Cup shot, most likely it would be during Tag World weekend, probably the evening show, and then that would leave the other two Extreme Force members free to do the tournament.
Makes sense to me.
All right, so we move on to a match I'm actually pretty excited about. First time ever encounter, Archibald Peck against Jigsaw. Not a ton of history here, but Peck is getting himself a grand championship match at Tag World Grand Prix on the evening show. So him beating a guy like Jigsaw, who's been Campeones de Parejas, King of Trios winner, Cibernetico winner, and everything else, it would be a pretty big push for Peck to get some momentum going there. And I believe this year Peck is undefeated in 2013. So I just think he's going to remain that way until he faces whomever the champion is come May 18th in Chicago. So, and I expect it to be a really fun, really good match as well.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really good too. They're sort of, it's kind of interesting. They're an opposite in a lot of regards, because their finishers are literally sort of, they oppose one another. Jigsaw has the Gigantonic, where he puts him on the back and then like kneels and spikes him on the head. Peck has that move, the front version, where he sort of, it's sort of like a reverse Styles Clash, where he steps over their arms and then jumps forward and lands on them. Jigsaw comes off the top with a double stomp. He comes off the top with a, you know, with his head, basically, the cranial crescendo. Yeah, of course. But I think the real wrinkle here is going to be this new move that Peck has come up with. I mean, I really think that's going to be the difference. The difference here is Peck's fancy new finish. If Jigsaw can somehow find a way to dodge it, he may have a chance. Otherwise, I'm going to go with Archibald Peck here. I don't think Jigsaw finds a way out of this this fancy new move.
His new move is really impressive.
It is. I mean, you know, you get a sense that some wrestlers just they're very cerebral. And I get that from Peck. He's a guy that really thinks about his moves. And I don't know how he came up with it, but it had to have been a eureka thing. Just hours and hours and hours and hours and hours of just sitting, and finally it just dawns on you. And he's going to amass some serious wins with this until someone figures out some, I don't know how. I mean, it's pretty complex. Until someone figures out a way to escape it for good.
So one of Archibald Peck's enemies throughout this time has been Mr. Touchdown Mark Angelicetti, the current Young Lions Cup champion. And he'll be defending that cup on the show against Chiva Kidd. a CWF Mid-Atlantic star, the breakout star of National Pro Wrestling Day, recently unmasked and became Andrew Everett, which I don't know how to feel about that. But he will be Chiva Kid in this match, and I guess he was a breakout enough star to get a shot at the cup in his hometown, and this has potential to be fun. It'll be a little bit of a Styles mishmash, but I think they'll pull off a good match, but I don't think there's any chance Kid walks out here. So Angelo Setti, still your Young Lions Cup champion.
Yeah, I would have to agree. I kind of want to, just as a swerve, as it was, to say that Chiva Kid could win. I don't think it will. I think it's going to be a really good match, though. I'm excited for it. I think they're Chiva Kid had a great showing at the event. I think he's still, you know, he's still in a role. I'm glad that he's still working the gimmick, Chiva Kid, and not just abandoning it to sort of get other bookings. But I'm glad he did that too, because you got to do what you got to do to get on wrestling shows and get your name out there. You know, you got to take risk. I mean, look, Jigsaw taking his mask off, the way it happened was stupid, but he took a shot at becoming something bigger. And as soon as he realized, yeah, they're not putting me in a chance to do it, you know, found a way to sort of right that wrong. And I think, and I admire him for taking that risk, honestly, for taking the chance. It was done in a really poor way, but, you know, what are you going to do? You got to take the risk. And he took a risk, you know, and, you know, people know his face now. And El Generico, we'll talk about him. The same thing, you know, taking that risk, potentially not being able to go back and be the same person that you were, takes a lot of guts. But we're getting the goat version of this gentleman here, and I think it's going to be super fun.
And then we're getting in the semi-main event, a rematch from King of Trios 2012, the semifinal round, as the eventual winners of that tournament, the Spectral Envoy, Ultramanus Black, Hallowicken, and Frightmare, take on Fist of Icarus, Chuck Taylor, and Johnny Gargano. Now, if you've seen the WrestleCon show, you know afterwards, Icarus fully accepts Sugar Dunkerton as a member of Fist. He says he's one of us. Taylor and Gargano say no, he's not. So I'm curious to see how they're going to work here. I assume not so well. I know Taylor and Gargano are on the same page. They're going to be working together. Icarus, I'm sure, wants to work with them, but I don't know how open Gargano and Taylor are going to be to that. And Dunkerton, although not on this card, is on the card the next night. So you have to assume he might be in the corner of his stablemates, and we'll see if he plays any role into this. But regardless, I think the Envoy will repeat their victory from King of Trios 2012 here.
Yeah, it's sort of hard to envision Fist. I mean, even though they are, I mean, it's going to be a great match no matter what, because these are two of the strongest trios Chikara has left. And longest tenured at this point, because everyone's breaking up with everyone and doing other stuff. So I think it's going to be a great match, and I hate to agree again, but I'm going to say the Envoy. I sort of thought about it for a second that maybe Fist, you know, maybe they do cheat to win, and there is some sort of Icarus sees the merits of cheating, but there's no real story there. I say, the Envoy, maybe even something like Taylor and Gargano foul one of the Envoy members, like Ultramantis, and get disqualified, and they sort of a who cares thing, and Icarus is like, I care, I want to win. So you can bet the turmoil is going to continue.
Absolutely. And of course, you know, Icarus has ties back to Hallowicked and those guys back in his earlier career, so you know, we'll see. Maybe he starts the match by shaking hands with Hallowicked and Mantis and Frightmare, and they're like, what are you doing?
They're all very confused, touching his face like, no, it's him. It's not a mask. Like, it's Icarus. So, yeah, I can see that.
Because that sort of started at a, I don't know, you didn't see the match yet, but I think it was Gargano gave Marty Jannetty a low blow, and Icarus was livid over it. There was a point where I think Dunkerton was holding Akuma for Gargano to kick. Akuma moves, Gargano stops, and then just super kicks Dunkerton anyways. So, yeah, there's definitely some splintering going on there. We'll see. So, but now we're on to the main event of the show for the Grand Championship, a match that was supposed to happen at Watchmaker back in Orlando, but Eddie Kingston got drunk and punched a mirror, so it didn't happen. But now it's happening here, as he will defend the Grand Championship against Green Ant. He earned that title shot in the Chikara season premiere, making Kingston tap out to the Cloverleaf. And now we're finally going to get this match. I bet it'll be great, and I bet Kingston retains the title.
I agree. I think Eddie Kingston is going to win this match. Sort of going into what happened with Eddie Kingston, obviously he's a guy that has quite a few demons. But I feel that he is I think he's the best guy on the roster today, and that includes Mike Quackenbush. I really do. I think his promos are great. His matches all tell stories. They all have heart. They all just suck you into him. I think he's a phenomenal worker and wrestler. I wish like hell that there was a part of him that wanted to get in any kind of shape. But obviously there's not, so there's no use wishing for it. But he wouldn't be the same man. Maybe there wouldn't be the same frustration and anger in his promos if he was one of those guys, you know? So it's sort of tough to see someone have these opportunities and then bad stuff go, you know, like happen to them and then being their own worst enemies. It's sort of, I've had a lot of friends like that. I still have friends like that that you wonder how many opportunities, every time they get an opportunity, they seem to just immediately want to shoot themselves in the foot. But I don't know. Hopefully someday, or maybe it'll be a long time before we see something like this from Eddie Kingston again, because he really is a phenomenal wrestler. I can't think of anyone that's a diehard Chikara fan that doesn't think he is a really, really good wrestler. And I think he stays grand champion in this match.
And that's the cards, my friends. A pretty solid looking one from top to bottom.
I think so. I think a little, I think if you switched around those two wrestlers, this card is just dynamite throughout the entire thing. I'd be totally stoked. I just think there's a few matches that lack as much meaning. A lot of, you know, like, honestly, the bottom four matches on this card really don't mean a whole lot. They're going to be fun, but they just don't mean much. Peck and Jigsaw, two potential title contenders. One, Peck has a title shot coming up, so Jigsaw wins. He's got a title match. And then you got two title matches and a six-man tag featuring the two former King of Trios winners. I know Gargano wasn't in the team when they won, but still, Fist and Envoy, long tenure teams. Just a really strong card at the top, I really feel like.
Well, speaking of cards that have a lot of meaning to the matches.
Indeed, yes, and that's what I'm most excited about this show in Porterdale, Georgia. Which they say is in the Atlanta area, but it is not really in the Atlanta area. It is pretty well south of Atlanta. For me, it's about an hour away. If I were living where I was like 2 years ago, I could jog there. It's that close. It's at the main event in Porterdale, Georgia, 7:00, May 4th on Saturday. I will be there, front row. With my roommate Amy, Amy's 4-year-old daughter, and my father will be there as well. So we'll all be there in the front row. Very excited for this card, which, again, top to bottom, I think every match has some importance to it. And on a few of these things, I'll need some help in terms of really fleshing out what the importance of each is, because I don't know the full story behind a few of these. But the first one I can cover pretty well, the opening contest, is Georgia's own Sugar Dunkerton, the most recent member of Fist. Obviously still not exactly accepted by the sounds of it. Icarus accepts him fully and completely. They're together at the very least. They're a dynamic duo now. Sugar Dunkerton is taking on Igor's previous bestest buddy, Gran Akuma, who was also in Fist before Gargano kicked him out. So the first guy to leave Fist versus the most recent guy to join Fist. I'd say a styles clash in a way, because Akuma has a lot of the stiff kicks, while Dunkerton is more known for the punches and... Dunkerton has like a Spider-Man quality, where part of what makes him a good wrestler is his ability to get under your skin, where he dribbles your head like a basketball and sort of yells, you know, things at you, like "kiss my Converse" before running you over with a boot. He has these sort of ways to get under your skin, whereas Akuma, he operates on fear. He is looking to just beat the bejesus out of you, and he has a very scary face. So I think it's going to be a good match. I think Akuma wins, though. What do you think, Kevin?
Yeah, that would probably be my guess, too. I think it'll be a really good match. If nothing else, if you follow both these guys on Twitter, they're always trying to improve. They're always trying to impress. They're always hungry. They want to, you know, just be booked more places. They want to work more, and they really want to shine like the stars that they both think they have the capability to be. So I think when you put two guys like that in the ring, you could get some real magic going. So I'm hoping for that. I wonder if any Fist members will stick their faces in here. And who knows? Maybe Akuma gets some respect for Dunkerton or something like that from this win. And maybe we'll see them team up in the future. Who knows?
Certainly possible. Maybe Icarus buries the hatchet with Akuma and sort of a potentially, fist-on-fist matchup in the future. And I mean, this whole thing... could bring all the elements together right here for just an all-out fist fight.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was going to say, with Icarus in the main event of Anniversary, I was thinking, they could do Dunkerton Nakuma versus Gargano and Taylor, but Evolve is doing an iPay-per-view that Sunday, so I'm pretty sure Gargano and Taylor will not be on the Anniversary show, which is sad.
That is very sad, and it also flies in the face of what I thought was going to happen there, so... never mind that. Moving on, but sticking with Anniversario. At Anniversario, Amasis is going to be taking on, they've already announced it, he's going to be taking on Ophidian. He said, anytime, anywhere. Ophidian said, very simple, on iPay-per-view in Philadelphia, I'll absolutely do it. So that is where they were facing off. But until then, you got to believe Amasis wants to get his hands on some of these Batiri members, and the first chance he gets, he's going to be in Georgia. He's going to be taking on Kobold. So Amasis versus Kobold. I think Amasis definitely gets a win here. I think I said that before, and we were talking about the previous show. I think Amasis beats Kobold and gets one step closer to some sweet vengeance against Ophidian.
Yep, and Amasis got beaten down by the Batiri at the WrestleCon show, and Kobold was the first one in the ring to give him a spear. Once Amasis just started attacking and beating down Ophidian in the ring. So, yeah, there's some special blood for him to be spilled, I think.
Indeed. I guess that's two in a row that we feel like are the same. Next up, we have a very interesting dynamic between two tag teams. It's Jigsaw and the Shard. Obviously, they're becoming, again, teaming more and more, becoming more, complete cohesive tag team. They're taking on Fire Ant and Assailant, who they've also become more. They were sort of, unlike Jigsaw and the Shard, who were chosen together, they were sort of put together, and Assailant has earned Fire Ant's trust and place, and they've had some really good tag maneuvers. I mean, it's clear that they are working on becoming cohesive with Green Ant, a cohesive trio again. Very interesting, because it was it the Shard that put Fire Ant out of action?
It was the whole Gekido, I think.
Oh, they all did it. Okay, so even Assailant might have been a part of that. But no, the Shard, he beat Fire Ant. I think tapped out Fire Ant recently, right to like an ankle lock in one of the recent shows. I feel like he did, but now I can't remember. Or maybe he just slapped it on, or he's basically that was what was injured on Fire Ant, and. They faced each other. Yeah, they did. In Orlando, a Watchmaker. The Shard tapped out Fire Ant with the ankle lock and has been targeting that previously injured wheel of his. There's no love lost between them and Jigsaw, for that matter. And Assailant and the Shard, I mean, these are former Gekido members. They made the same move when they came into the company. One guy decided he wanted to keep hurting people, and Assailant decided he wanted to join and build Jakara up and be a part of the roster. So, lots of diverse stories. I think it's going to be a fun match. Kevin, who do you think is winning?
I think Jigsaw and the Shard win, which is kind of a shame, because Fire Ant and Assailant have a point, and I think winning Talisha would be kind of fun. But I do think Jigsaw and the Shard win here, and like I said with the calling Extreme Force, if they win, they could get a spot in Tag World. I think if Jigsaw and the Shard win here, or they could even be announced before, because they have a week of announcements still to go. But I think Jigsaw and the Shard will certainly be a part of Tag World, if not frontrunners to win the whole thing. And I think this win will happen for them to give them a push towards Chicago.
Yeah, it's sort of, I hate to agree again, but I don't...
Why do you always hate to agree?
I don't know, it's just more fun to have a completely different opinion, and I feel like it's more fun to listen to people very strongly disagree on points, but it seems pretty obvious to me that Jigsaw and the Shard are winning this. Although if they do get into... Well, no, that doesn't matter. I say Jigsaw and the Shard win this as well. You're probably right. This probably does get them into Tag World. Do we know how the points are going to work in Tag World?
I figure it's just like every year. Well, I guess they were created in 06, but like the way the 2008 tournament was, it worked just like any other one. You get a tag win, you get a point. So presumably whomever wins the tournament will have enough points to earn a title shot. So my guess is the winner of Tag World will face whomever the tag champs are at Anniversario.
That sounds right to me. In which case, Jigsaw and the Shard, if they got in the tournament, they wouldn't really need... Don't they already have a point from something? I feel like they have a point. No, they lost it.
No, because they lost to Liger and Quack.
That's right. So they don't have anything at all. So, yeah, that once at the end lends itself to Jigsaw and the Shard winning. Moving on from that, we have a singles match and the most recent announced match on this card, potentially the final match announced. And that is... Tim Donst, who will certainly have, you would think, have at least elements of his crew in tow. His crew being Jacob Hammermeyer and Veronica and Steve Weiner. He'll be facing Saturine. Now, he's faced Saturine, I believe, twice before. You can probably go into the history better than I can. What is their, what happened, what were the results in both of those matches?
Yeah, so they were at that. They faced each other both in August of last year. One was at that Baseball Town charity show, where Donst beat her in like 3.5 minutes with the From Dust Till Donst. And then they faced each other the week after at the Ring of Wax, the Indianapolis show with the Touchdown ACH match that got so much praise. And again, he beat her in maybe like 7.5 minutes with From Dust Till Donst.
So it's been pretty consistent so far that Donst has. Beaten Saturine pretty badly. Do you expect it to go any differently in this match?
I don't know. Donst is just so tough to read and not in a good way that I just don't know. I really just don't know or don't care. I really hope Saturine gets the win here. If nothing else, she's in Tag World. He's not. Why not give her some credibility going into that? Just why give Donst a win? Just why?
Yeah, I don't understand the care. It seems like every... He goes into the promos with gusto, but every promo I see, it's like it's taking on, like the character's changing again, and then something else changes, and then they do something else, and it's like they can't figure out what they want to do, what they want this Tim Donst character to be all about. I don't understand it. I hope Saturine wins, because I don't understand what is going on with Tim Donst. I really don't. I have a feeling this is going to end with Donst. In fact, I'm going to predict this, though. I say Donst wins via From Dust Till Donst.
There you go. Well, we talked about this before. It's like, at one point, it was like, I need to save pro wrestling. I need to kill pro wrestling. I think Hallowick is a god. I hate Eddie Kingston. He can't be the champion. Jacob will never be Young Lions Cup champion. No one can ever have happiness because I don't have it. None of that connects to each other in any sense at all. You need to find something and stick with it and make it make sense and make me care about it.
Yeah, I don't really understand it either. Unless it turns out that he's under the control of the Eye of Tyr and someone operating him is just going back and forth trying to confuse people. I don't know. It's very bizarre. But as much as I want Saturine to win, Donst via Dust Till Donst, because I don't know. I don't know why. Get some new ring gear, too, because that blue and yellow stuff is just crazy.
I know you hate it, but it's not going to change as much as you want it to.
I know. I feel like I'm going to mention it every time now, but it's just I can see it peeking through in this match banner with on his shoulders, and I couldn't believe he actually came out and wrestled in that on iPay-Per-View. I just couldn't believe it, but, you know, what are you going to do?
Did you watch either of the wrestling as art shows?
No. I hear they're good.
So Donst was... yeah, they're both very good and both very worth getting. But Donst wrestled on both those shows, once against Cabana and once against AR Fox. Both were good matches, but both of the finishes of the match were like Donst took like the top off of like one of the ring posts and smacked the guy in the head and pinned them. And I'm like, I understand that no one's supposed to believe that the wrestling is companies are tied to or controlled by Chikara, which if you think, then you're just an idiot. But I don't like the fact that Donst's Chikara whatever is infecting him in other matches too, especially with guys like Colt Cabana and AR Fox.
Yeah, it does a disservice to Tim Donst, but as if he's not good enough to just straight wrestle these guys and have good matches. I mean, I've gone on and on about how Tim Donst has all the potential in the world, but I think he, for a while there, his promos were as good as Eddie Kingston's, as good as anyone on the independents. When he was Young Lions Cup champion, I think it was just the character was perfected. And since he's lost that, I mean, there's something to say for, since he lost the championship, he's gone in a downward spiral. No, the character makes no sense. He's just, it's confusing and weird, and it's all going backwards. And he's much better than that, and deserves a character that at least makes some kind of sense. Just pick something. I don't care, you know, it's, I'll quote the Shepherd book, his last words on our planet was, he wasn't on our planet, but, I don't care what you believe, just believe it. Like, just pick something and commit to that. Don't just keep choosing things out of a hat. Pick something and commit to that. The downfall of Eddie Kingston, treating, Hollow Wicked as a false god. Or you just down with pants. I don't care. Just pick something.
I can get behind the down with pants initiative.
I'm not wearing pants right now.
Like nothing?
So the next match, the Spectral Envoy, again, teaming together, the King of Trios winners. They're taking on Colony Extreme Force. So we have the big King of Trios winners versus, theoretically, the 2011 King of Trios winners. Because they were just given the medals, because that's what your card is right now. They just give people things, and they don't... It's just all very weird.
They give people things, and they turn to the crowd, and they say, you shut up and like it.
Right, exactly. So this is the company that we're trying to get you interested in now. They're a company that arbitrarily takes titles from other people and gives them to someone else. And they also have a person in charge that is completely unlikable and runs a dictatorship. Does that sound familiar to anyone else? Yes, it does sound like sports entertainment.
And that sounds like a company I'm supposed to get my money to?
It's like WWE circa 2006. It's like, not only will I not watch this, I'll anti-watch it. Take that, TV! Smash! You know, it's just, it drives me nuts. Like, it's little things like that. Luckily, they're on a smaller scale than WWE. It's not... in terms of, you know, they just gave the medals. We know who won. Who cares? But it's still the act of going, maybe I should do this. And no one going, no, you shouldn't do that. That's dumb. Don't do that. It's just silly. I think the Colony are going to win here. I don't know how they're going to win here. But I think they're going to. And I think... the Spectral Envoy will then have to forfeit their King of Trios medals immediately. I think Wink comes out and says, you give your medals to them, and they are two-time King of Trios winners.
Gross. But would not surprise me at all if that's the direction they went. So to flesh out why this match is happening, they did the Colony Extreme Force and Soldier Ant against the Colony and Frightmare match at WrestleCon. And everyone's like, what the heck is Frightmare doing in this match? He is no ant. But they needed a fourth guy for the Colony team with, so I was like, all right, deal with it. Mantis was on commentary for this match, and the finish of the match saw Missile Assault Ant unmask Frightmare and cradle him to get the win, which is a gigantic no-no in the world of Chikara. You do not unmask other people, and you would suspect that the Colony Extreme Force, being masked wrestlers, would understand this, but clearly they don't really care. They are not really into the whole Chikara thing. They just kind of do what they do. And you got to figure that was also the last straw to make Soldier Ant up and quit the company, which thank God he did. And I'm not saying that because I dislike Soldier Ant, but in terms of the character, it would make me angrier if he just stood around taking this kind of crap for long. But Manda saw that. Frightmare wants revenge. And so that's why this match is happening. But I agree with your assessment. But if that 2012 King of Trios things happen, I'm going to pitch a fit.
Yeah, I think most people will, which I guess is the point, is you want people to be very, very unhappy, which why in the world would you want people unhappy?
I don't know how this translates to money ever, which, unless I forgot, that's kind of the point of professional wrestling.
Yeah, and Chikara, that's the thing, is that was the best part about Chikara, is that they build up these big, you know, these big entities, and you'd go, and you know, they'd build impossible odds, but the, you know, good guys would come back and get victories. And apparently that's not enough. Now we have to saturate every aspect of every storyline with something that just leaves a sour taste in your mouth. It's like, yes, finally Fire Ant, you know, beats so-and-so. Oh, but it makes Soldier Ant worse. Like, there's always, like, a... It's like wishes from an evil genie, you know? You get all the money, but it falls on you at once and you die. Like, it's just... There's always a trap door to anything good that happens at this point. So, I don't know. It's just... I hope the Envoy wins and the colony unmasked to reveal themselves to be crab people and we can get back to... And then Dr. Cube comes out and there's a whole thing. I don't know.
I will not be in Port Arthur, Georgia, I'm sorry to say.
Yes, which is a shame because you're going to miss crab people and Dr. Cube. Oh, yeah, wait. No, all right. Good God. Okay. That's... I can't... You don't sound anything like Dr. Cube.
Are you doubting me?
Well, who am I to doubt Dr. Cube? Moving on from here, 3.0, who they have a non-title tag match the night before, have a title tag match the night after against those demon fellows, Oberyn and Kodama, who are getting their second opportunity at the Campeonatos de Parejas. Their first one was against, in happier times, Jigsaw and Mike Quackenbush, where they were obliterated. So this is their... They've learned from that. They've learned from the mistakes there. And, you know, they're now approaching 3.0, who you sort of think maybe are a more vulnerable team, given their past history, than Quackenbush and Jigsaw. But, I mean, they're rolling now. I mean, they're really... They've put it all together. They are a phenomenal duo, and they've had some run-ins with each other, haven't they? Like, some... I don't think outright feuding, but they have not gotten long.
Yeah, there's been some Atomicos and Trios matches. Like, I remember in the Everett, Massachusetts show from last year where the Bucks versus the Throwbacks was the main event. That's when they had Akuma and 3.0 in their first weekend together. They faced the Batiri and then lost by DQ, and then they lost in the first round of King of Trios to the Batiri due to shenanigans. And I'm sure they've meshed in Atomicos and other matches elsewhere, so yes, you're right.
And by the way, if you needed another reason that the previous night should have switched 3.0 in the colony, this would have put the champions and the challengers in a match together without it being, you know, just... straight tag or singles matches or something like that. So,
and Chikara's very well known for doing those kind of things.
Yeah, they are. And in fact, they did them for the Young Bucks and the 3.0 the night before. That 3.0 was tagging with Akuma, the Bucks with Kevin Steen. So,
and that was such a great match.
It was. It really, really was.
Kevin Steen wanting to do the double backflip and just rolling his tubby self over was the funniest thing I'd ever seen.
Hardest I've laughed in Chikara this year, I think. That was phenomenal.
For sure. More Kevin Steen, please. Like, the High Spots Kevin Steen show, I'm really excited to watch those.
Really in all aspects. I mean, he's a guy that, I don't know. I want to see him get away from this, like, Kill Steen Kill character. I really do. Because I feel like there is... an element to him, such a likable... Whenever you see the guy talking, or whenever you hear him talking, I don't know, he's just, like, seems like a really happy guy, or just, like, has, like, this, I don't want to say, like, lust for life, but he's just... Whenever I hear him talking, it's very invigorating. He just seems like a good guy.
He's incredibly relatable and level-headed, which I really appreciate.
And why wouldn't he like Chikara? It's filled with all sorts of, like, zany animals, you know? And then, like, things like that. So, yeah, maybe just get the bear. Just bring the bear back. Let Kevin Steen and the bear team together. And there's your Tag World Grand Prix right there.
Well, the one thing I also love about Kevin Steen, too, is, like, he is so loyal to his friends. And, like, he will never stop singing the praises of the Super Smash Brothers, like, as long as he lives. And good for him. And like he'll defend his friends. Like, if you know, wrestling fans have a weird perception of somebody, he has no problem coming out and saying, like, you're wrong. This is how it really is.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too. This is how good Kevin Steen is, just like, apparently as a person and as a wrestler. He has nothing to do with this show. We've just been talking about him for the last few minutes. No really connection to this show at all whatsoever.
Well, he's Canadian, 3.0 are Canadian, and I think they are retaining their titles.
I agree. I think they're retaining their titles too. So the loosest of connections. But yes, the Batiri 0-2 in title matches, and 3.0 make their second defense.
I was kind of surprised to find this is only the Batiri's second title shot. Which is kind of surprised. It's been like over 2 years.
I had to look it up. I felt like they've had seven, many, many title shots, and they all just went terribly. But no, this is only number two. There's still a group that has just so many other factions just come in. Colony Extreme Force were here 8 minutes, and they're King of Trios champions. The Batiri,
unfortunately, they were here for like an hour and were King of Trios champions.
Yes, that's true. Yes, way, way too much wrestling from Colony Extreme Force when they first started. But now they're King of Trios champions. The Batiri, I mean, all of them have failed. Has Cobalt? No, Cobalt hasn't had a Young Lions Cup title match, has he?
He has not.
No. Okay, so he's still safe. But the other Batiri members failed to capture the cup. They've also failed to capture the Campeonatos. We're going to say that they're going to fail again because we both believe they're not going to win this match. So that's rough going for them, quite frankly. That's a lot of high profile losses that I don't want to say you wouldn't expect, but that is rough. We'll move on to happier things, which is another title match. That's right. Georgia has two title matches, just like North Carolina. Although this time it is going to be they have the tag titles and they have the grand championship, which is either going to be Eddie Kingston or Green Ant. We both feel that it's Eddie Kingston that is going to be in this match. Although honestly, if you were to, Green Ant probably makes more sense because it's going to be Marcangelo Seti, the Young Lions Cup champion. Is going for more gold. He's going for the grand championship of Chikara and facing Eddie Kingston for the first time, we believe, honestly. Or Green Ant, again, who, they have tremendous chemistry with one another, and they already have some built-in history there. In fact, it was in the South. It was in Alabama that Angelo Seti and Green Ant faced one another in the main event for the Young Lions Cup. So certainly either one a possibility. I am going off the impression that Eddie Kingston's going to be there, as are you. And I think I'd love to say that, with the title matches coming up, because the title matches that are arriving soon, Archibald Peck has one coming up. And obviously it makes makes just as much sense for Eddie Kingston with their whole time travel thing, or Mr. Touchdown, who they've had their whole feud. So all that taken in together, all that confusing mishmash or stuff, I think Eddie Kingston wins again, continues winning, and will be grand champion forever, forever, forever. What do you think?
I agree that Kingston's going to retain here. I kind of want him to defeat Green Ant as well, because if nothing else, Kingston versus Touchdown's a fresh match. And unless, a rematch coming is this colossal must-see rematch or, something that we need to wait in the wings for, like a Joe versus Punk 2, I really think going with a fresh matchup is generally a better choice. And I think Kingston and Touchdown has the chance to be an incredibly good match. So I'm really looking forward to it. I hope it happens. And I hope Kingston retains and we get Kingston versus Peck, because I'm going to be literally on the edge of my seat during that match, waiting to stand up and go backwards in time.
Thank you, Kevin Traeger. I think that's the fresh matchup is definitely the way to go, in my opinion. And I think it could be great, too. It's going to be kind of an interesting class, because you have Angelo Seti's a guy that he's used to just being able to physically throw people around, and with Eddie Kingston he can still do it, but it's going to be a lot harder who was his last? It was Hammermeyer and Saturine and even ACH and Green Ant. You can outmuscle those guys. You can straight toss those guys around. Not going to be able to do the same with Eddie Kingston. Not as easily, anyway. But we both agree that Eddie retains.
Yeah, I want to see him try to go for the flea flicker on Eddie Kingston.
someone dies. Either Eddie Kingston flips on top of Mr. Touchdown and he just dies immediately, or he can't make the rotation, gets dropped on his head, and just crumples into a sad pile. And that was the last of the dying breed.
Truth facts. Will those be the shows?
Yeah, I'm really excited for the Porterdale show overall. I've got the tickets here, and I just look at them every once in a while, and it still doesn't seem real that I'm just going to, because I didn't have to make any grand plans. I didn't have to do all the stuff. I'm going to get in a car. I'm going to drive and go see the show, and then I'm going to come home. That's pretty exciting. And I thought it was an afternoon show, but it's actually a night show, so that works fine too. I'm thrilled. I appreciate them coming. Tickets must be selling good. They're out of front row, I believe, unless they put some more on the website, which I have not checked. But the last time I checked, yeah, they're out. They totally sold out of the front row shows. I think there's not much left. If there's one front row ticket left for the North Carolina show, and Porterdale completely sold out. So they're doing very well, and I'm looking forward to it big time.
Yeah, man, I'm really excited for you to go. You know, it's been a while since you got on a Chikara show. Now, what can we expect from you? Will you be live tweeting results? Will we get a report? Will we get YouTube videos? What are we going to get from you this time around?
I'm not sure I'm sort of trying to feel out what people want to do. I mean, I can't text very well, so I don't know if I could do live results. Plus, I'm going to have a 4-year-old there, so that's probably not a great idea. I don't know. We could, there's a lot of things that we could do. When is Tag World?
Tag World is Saturday, May 18th. And I can tell you that Jerome and I will both be there, and one of us will be live tweeting results from both the day and evening shows.
Right, exactly. I mean, I can always, I'm going to be heading home afterward. So I can always, I know I'm going to do a write-up of it to see what's going on, just to let you know about the experience, and like I did with the last one. The results, I'll figure it out. If I can figure out an easy way to do it, like if I can pre-prep tweets of some kind and just have it.
You can. You can definitely do it. You can save drafts of tweets.
See, that I can do. If I have the draft page, I can just literally, I can go, okay, yeah.
It's so easy. We can give you a tutorial, but it's embarrassingly easy. You're going to be like, Kevin, I'm embarrassed at how easy this is. And I'll say, good, you should be. Because I've done that for almost every show that I've gone to live. That's what I've done. So it's crazy easy.
Okay, so I'll just save like a ton of drafts essentially, and just tweet them out as soon as they. I'll literally just have it. Yeah, we'll be able to figure it out. So, yes.
We'll talk about that later. Yeah. So yeah. Okay. So we'll have results from that. I'm sure we'll have them from the North Carolina show. I'm sure somebody from the website or a friend of ours are going to be going to there. And then we'll have results, obviously, from Tag World. And then we'll have, you know, it's on iPay-per-view, so someone will be doing results and stuff for Anniversario. So we got the next 5 Chikara shows covered, folks.
Yeah. After that, it's kind of wide open, but there's still no tickets or anything like that. There's no real indication of what we can expect. Maybe we'll get something like that this week. Still nothing. So that's...
Anniversario, I think, is going to be a big deal. So we'll see what goes down there.
I guess they're just, yeah, you're right. They're probably just focusing on that.
All right. Well, before we get out of here, we've got about an hour and a half, which is really short for us, actually. Before we get out of here, plugs. Go ahead.
Yes. I have a Twitter at Justin J. Houston. I have a personal YouTube page that I post videos to, and I have a bunch of stuff recently that I need to throw up on there. Not that I'm going to vomit on a YouTube page, but that'd be par for the course for that website. And then we sort of a shared thing. For the Chikara special, I did some photo captions recently. Yes, a slew of those. So I don't know when those are going up or if they're already up, but they'll be able to enjoy those. And that's everything right now. What about you?
Yeah, so again, check out the Chikara Special Tumblr. It's chikaraspecial.tumblr.com. Anything news related from Chikara officially and unofficially is there. And all that news goes to the at Chikara Special Twitter, as well as all of my reviews for ChikaraSpecial.com. And anything I post on WrestlingIs.tumblr.com, which you could also follow. That's, as it sounds, it's the match announcements and everything from all of the Wrestling Is companies. Gets all posted there and goes through the Chikara Special Twitter as well. Follow me on Twitter personally at KFord13. I also want to encourage people, in addition to listening to this podcast and all of our podcasts and everything on PWPonderings.com, subscribe on iTunes to the Mad Hour podcast. You may remember Jerome talking about this last year. It's a podcast that him and one of his friends in Chicago used to do, talking about Mad Men. Every week they'd record to talk about what went on in the episode and where they think it might lead for the rest of the season. Well, she is now working full-time on a cruise ship as an entertainer. So Jerome has asked me to step in graciously to be his co-host on the Mad Hour. So if you want to hear me and Jerome talk about Mad Men and sometimes me sneaking in wrestling references, go ahead and subscribe to that on iTunes. It goes probably goes a little bit under an hour every week, if not less than that. So it's a brief, fun listen. If you're a fan of the show, that's a nice supplement for that. And you can hear me forget character names all the time. But that's it. All I really have for now. I think I'm gonna have a fun feature coming up on PW Ponderings to coincide with Free Comic Book Day, which, by the way, if you are around May 4th, may the 4th be with you, Star Wars Day this Saturday. Comic stores around the country have Free Comic Book Day. They're gonna have comics specifically made for this day. All these companies do it. It has, you know, special issues of certain things, free previews of stuff that's coming up for the summer and the fall, and tons of kids' books. So if you have children or you're a comic fan, be sure to go out to your local stores and support them on that day. I know they'll have like a special Walking Dead book, some other cool stuff to preview that's coming out there. And then, of course, go see Iron Man 3. Go support comic things and all that other fun stuff this weekend. If you're not going to be in watching Chikara in Porterville, Georgia, or Gibsonville, North Carolina. But you should do all that, too, if you can. So, Justin, thanks for joining me, sir.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. I love doing this, and I look forward to doing this until we're very old men.
Right, and we will be back at least in a couple weeks to preview all of Tag World Grand Prix. But until then, folks, thanks for joining us. For Charles Manson, this has been Dr. Cube. Thanks so much for listening. Dancing to my song, looking so fly, I'm feeling so calm. I'm Ray Charles, I'm Ray Charles, I'm Ray Charles, I'm Ray Charles.